As you know, Pastor Sam is away this week in Montreal speaking at a church, so I have the honor of replacing our pastor today. So very excited to preach on one of the faith series. Hopefully you guys have been really blessed about. Let's pray before we start. Father, we thank you so much for gathering us on this Sunday. We ask that, Lord, we do believe that you have a special message for every single one of us here today. A message that's going to be able to transform us. Message that could really change our perspective. Who God is, who you are, and who we are as your child. Lord, help us to take that message today to transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, just to add about the testimony that, you know, our sister Yuna shared. I don't know if you know, but I was playing basketball, you know, like a couple months ago, and you know, I still think that I'm very fairly pretty good, right, Theo? Can you testify to? thank you, Theo. Because Theo's like, well, I don't know, young, right? And you know, I'm kind of old, but feel like I still have my game, and I go, and I think I'm like Michael Jordan, and you know, make these things and act, and you know, and boom, and this is the thing that everybody talks about, is like you hear the pop, you know, and it's like when you hear the pop, it's like you get a torn ACL, and boom, I heard the pop. I never heard the pop before, but I heard the pop, and I just, but the shot went in. It was a beautiful shot. It was a beautiful shot. And I just went straight to the bench, and I said, guys, I'm done. And they were all crowding me. And, you know, I went home really early that night. And, you know, Chia's like, why are you home so early? And I was like, oh. Next day, I got up, and I couldn't walk. I couldn't get out of my bed. I was trying to get myself at least to work a little late. And, you know, I was just waiting it out, taking Advil, and couldn't put on my socks, couldn't drive, had to, you know, kind of have my wife drive me to work. It was quite embarrassing once again. You know, I had to limp and go to work because I had to be at work that day. Came home, couldn't function at all. And then I think, I didn't even know, but Gia texted out to a lot of the ladies to pray for me. And, you know, I was in real depression because, I know the severity of an ACL injury, and if it is, you'll be bedridden for like 2 weeks, and recovery time's probably like 6 to 9 months. You won't be fully be able to function for a year. And the ladies start to pray, and then next morning I got up, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I could like bend my knee, I could put on my sock, and I was thinking like, this is unbelievable. And I didn't know what was going on, and I just thought, it was because I prayed, like, for myself. I was praying, God, have mercy on me, you know. And I said, God, have mercy on me. And then I found out the truth that Tia had all these ladies pray for me. it's not, you know, fully healed yet, but I don't, you know, like, I went to get my MRIs done. I went to an orthopedist before that. Orthopedist was like, sounds like an ACL injury. And I got the MRI done, and it turns out it's just a lateral tear on my side. And it's gotten like seriously like exponentially better, where it's like maybe like 80%, and Dio, I think I could be back soon. I'm sorry, Jay. But I just wanted to testify, let you know that God does incredible things, you know? And I see it as an incredible thing for myself. And this is the second time I actually experienced some sort of physical healing. You know, once again, I was playing basketball in high college, and throughout my back, and it was severe pain used to come like twice a year where I couldn't get out of bed. I went to this conference, and you know, it was the same conference where the pastor prayed for Pastor Sam, and Pastor Sam started to run. I don't know if you ever know the story. He started to run for like hours, and I was in it. I said, oh, I'm gonna go to the end. Pastor Sam's like, go. He drove like 3 hours. I think Chiong was with me. We drove and we got to Long Island, and you know, I was online, but I went there to really just to experience God's blessing. You know, I wanted to experience what Pastor Sam experienced. Not that I wanted to run like he did, but I just wanted to, you know, experience something really supernatural. And I was online, And I started to get that back pain again where I couldn't stand. And then I had to kind of squat. And he was actually praying for my one of my close friends in front of me. And he, when he was about to pray for my friend, he like goes, "Oh, is there somebody with back pain right now?" And I look and nobody's there. I was like, me. And then pushes my friend aside. I think to this day, he's kind of bitter towards me, right, because of that. He prayed for me, and then instantly, the pain went away. And I never thought anything of it. I wanted, like that supernatural blessing, in my life. And, I didn't get that, right? And I went home, and I was kind of disappointed too, And my friend was disappointed because of me, he pushed him aside, and one of his ministry people started to pray for him, and he didn't get the prayer by the pastor. So many years later, like somebody was talking about back pain, and it's been like 2-3 years, and then I didn't feel that back pain at all. And it's been like 15 years ever since then. Church, believe that God can do miracles. If you have a need, maybe physical pain you need, let us know. Let the ministry team know. We want to pray. And we want to testify. So that's my little introduction to my message. My message is going to be like 2 hours long today. So brace yourself. Talk to you about if you need a drink of water, go ahead. But today, as you know, Pastor Sam's been talking about Daring Faith series, right? Getting ready for miracles, giving God our best, daring faith to imagine, daring faith to commit. And today I want to speak about daring faith to plant. And I actually really wrestle with this. It's by a series by Rick Warren, and I had the outline, and I had to kind of make it my own. Really, really wrestle with this daring to plant, because it is a little difficult, I think, and hard at times. Because in Galatians 6:7, it says, "Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. No one can make a fool out of God," right? Whatever you sow, man reaps what he sows, right? Whatever the man plants, he might harvest. I was kind of struggling through this passage because, it seems like you sow and then you get the results. You sow, you get the results. And I was kind of struggling through where is that grace, where is the mercy, when you sow and you plant. But I want to really encourage you today that there is so much truth and treasure within this passage, and that's how that's what I want to share today. Now, everything starts as a seed, right? Idea, every dream, every achievement. This nation, America, started as a idea of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. This church, Catalyst, we started as a seed, a dream, idea. Your life started as a seed. So kind of like everything starts as a seed, right? Genesis 1, God said, "Let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their varieties." I would say, and Rick Warren says this, actually. He says, "Seed is anything valuable that I give away." Anything valuable that I give away. And words, right? Words could be seeds. So anything valuable. So what's valuable to you and me? Time, money, effort, wisdom, energy. Maybe sometimes our prayers, care. What about love? Love, right? Love. There's great value in these type of seeds. Words. I think words have such power, words to transform, because the Holy Spirit kind of lives within us, and we could be able to speak His words into somebody's life. It has so much value, and that's a seed. And then I was kind of struggling through some of the passages here, and I got this image, actually. This morning. It's so funny because last night we had a birthday party for my niece, and we do this ritual thing that our family does, and I'm thinking, like, this is so bad for me right now. I should be home and praying and preparing, but I was having fun and I was laughing, and I'm like, God, you take care of the message. And it's at my confession time right now. But this morning I got up and I was just wrestling with God, and I got this image. You know what this image I got? I thought it was so good. I saw all of you, and I saw all of me, right? Me and all of you. And we had this bag of seeds, right side, and then we had another bag of seed on the left side. And it was so cool because this bag on the right side, you couldn't see. what was inside. You couldn't see, like, man, I have like two seeds in here. You know what I mean? Like, what the? I only have two seeds to plant? No, no. It wasn't like that. Like, this bag, like, you couldn't see how many seeds were in there, right? And then this other side was a bag, and it was a bag of just, in the bottom was like rotten things. You ever see rotten things in your fridge or outside? There's something sitting in our fridge downstairs right now. It's in this pot. She is laughing right now. She made this soup. It must have been like 9 months ago, right? And it's just sitting there. And every time I go there, I don't want to even go near it, right? I mean, as a man, I think I should take that pot and wash it myself. But my gosh, this is like untouchable. I feel like you can't even touch. I think we just have to throw it away. Honey, I think we should just throw it out. Like, it's not washable anymore. But you ever seen anything like rotten like that, right? But this bag of seeds, like, it was that type of rotten thing. And I was just like, oh, Lord. And that image of our pot in the fridge came up, and I was just like totally like distracted about this image God was showing. But I saw this image, and it has spiritual seeds on the right side, the seeds. I feel like these are the good seeds, and these were the bad seeds, right? And this seed were like seeds that you have, you and I have. And sometimes we feel like this bag is empty. Now, how many times do we feel like that? I have nothing to give. There is no seed. Where's my seed? I need seeds in here, you know? And I want to tell you today, you can't see your seeds. You can't. Because it's unlimited. That's why God doesn't want you to see the seeds, right? And I'm looking at mine, and oh, just millions. No, it was like, I can't see. I want you to know, first truth, it's like you have a bag of seeds right here. You can't see it, but it's limitless. Can't see it. You think that there's empty. You think there's only a few. But don't limit God. Cannot. How's your trip to Spain? Good? These seeds, right? I believe nothing happens until the seed is planted. What good is it if you have this unlimited amount of seeds in here if you don't plant it? Right? What good is it? You know, it says in the Bible that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, right? Pastor Sam says this all the time. I must have heard it like seriously like thousands of times. Your battle is not against your wife. You know? Your battle is not against, you know, flesh and blood. But it's in the spiritual realm, right? It's in the spiritual realm. That's what Ephesians says, right? So we have to fight, not with each other, but in the spiritual realm, right? So how do we fight? We have to fight with spiritual weapons, right? So it says to pray. Put on your armor of God, right? To pray with spiritual, fight spiritually with these things. I want to tell you today that the seed that's in your right side of your bag, right, has spiritual powers. Spiritual seed has spiritual powers. And the beauty of this is not just spiritual things, right? It's not just your prayers. It's not just about, you know, your faith, right? But what is a seed? Seed is anything valuable that you give away, right? Time, money, you know, effort, right? Care, love, concern. You know, my sister, I don't want to put her on the spot, but she's a phenomenal cook, right? Like, every time we go, like, I love when it's like her children's birthdays and stuff, and I always anticipate, and we do this. And my sister and I, we do this. I don't know, sometimes I feel annoyed when she asks me, but when I ask her, it's like, I ask, you know, I don't know, she probably gets annoyed at me too, but I go, what's for dinner? You know, my wife gets really annoyed when I go, what's for dinner? Because if it's not something good, I heard Sean, right? Sean actually goes and picks up something before he comes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's too much truth there. But what's for dinner? And then my sister would send me this long text. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. It's the most beautiful thing, right? It really is. And I get so excited. You know, my wife and I were like, man, we can't eat lunch today. Like, we have to, you know, effort, love, care. These seeds, it may, to you, may not mean so much. May not mean much. But God does amazing things with these seeds that we have. And we do it with faith. We don't do it with feelings, right? We do it in kind of in faith. We believe as we give away that God's going to do something, right? Sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes we don't even know what type of power our seeds really have. To be honest, I think that's the sad part. And that's the most amazing part, is that these seeds just have exponential power. You know, I know, and this is one of the reasons why I thought this was a tough message in a way for a lot of people. A lot of us, you know, right now we're just stuck, you know, we're stuck. It could be a lot of different ways. And you could be going through the storm of your life right now. And I think some of us, maybe we are, right? Maybe some of us are going through some deep, dark places that we've never been to. Maybe we're in the midst of the worst storm of our life. You know, can you relate? You know, I haven't really been able to fully share, you know, only a few people what's been really going through, even our family's life. Some really traumatic thing happened last year. We're still trying to work around. Last year we also found out about a close friend of, you know, mine and Chia and I think Sue. She started Jericho Falls Ministry with us. She's an incredible violinist. She's in Korea right now. She's plays for the Seoul Philharmonic first chair. I mean, really successful, really gifted. And she got hit with like stage 4 cancer last year. And I get to go to Korea like twice a year. And last year I went twice. You know, I meet with her, you know, and we have lunch together. And every time we laugh together, right? We love to laugh. She always thinks, you know, I'm very funny, you know, it's good. And we'll laugh together, and then we cry together, right? We cry like crazy, right? And then, you know, we pray together, right? In those moments. And every word that comes out of her mouth, it has so much weight, you know? Because she tells me about who she thinks God is and what she's going through and where is God. And she'll go through a point of maybe some complaint, and then she'll turn it right back into worship and praise. And I sit there and I listen to every word that comes out because there is so much power in her words. And I come back and, you know, not only pray, you know, and right even now she's just going through. Some treatments are good, some treatments are bad. She's struggling through, right now. And what, I don't know if she knew, even in the months of that situation, I don't know if she knew that there were seeds to be planted. You know? Seeds were being planted in me. You know, I shared this before in my message about my half-brother. You know, if you know my testimony, I have these two younger half-brothers, right? And my youngest one, he went through a very abusive father issue. He was very physically, verbally abusive, and, you know, he went through so traumatic experiences. I mean, you hear stories, it's crazy. But somehow he had a really close friend, the best friend, and she was able to really help him through a lot of situations, through high school. They were high school and through college, and he went to a medical school eventually, became a dermatologist. And towards his last year, you know, they got married, and then 6 months later, she got stricken with cancer, right? And I remember this really well because this was when we were about to plant Catalyst, 10-10-10, right? And it was a week before, so it was like 10-3, like on that Saturday. Oh, 10-2 on that Saturday. Pastor Sam and I, we were meeting to plant the church together. And, you know, this is the reason why I actually love our pastor. You know, I could say this because he's not here, right? I've known him since my senior year in high school, college, which is actually freshman year in college. Which was 1991, I think, right? My gosh, that's a long time. And I seen him go through such transformation. I seen him get married, you know, I seen him have children, and I seen him go through this incredible transformation, right? And it's, But one thing that I always admire is his ability to care, right? And I knew about this, about him. And this is, it's not about like his gifting and some of his shortcomings, right? And some, you know, as you know, that he's been struggling through certain issues that for the past year and so. But his ability to care is just unbelievable. And we actually went, I said, Pastor Sam, I know we're busy, but let's go and pray for her. She's probably in her deathbed. And she was shaking, and every time we were there, and you know, like we prayed for her, and it was absolutely incredible. Amazing. Because when we prayed and when we worshiped, like she started to not shake. You know, her eyes became a little bit clearer. And then, like, and after we were done, then she would go through the same thing. And then as we prayed again, we stayed. I wanted just her to come and pray for her and pray for the family for like, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, right? And I would have been thankful for that. We stayed for like a couple of hours, right? Just praying. Anyway, a few days later, she passed. And her funeral was on that Saturday, 10-9. And 10-10 was our anniversary, our first launching service, 10-10-10, right? So 10-9, we did the whole funeral thing, and 10-10 is our first service, so I'm trying to prepare for the worship. Obviously, you know, I'm a wreck, right? I'm emotionally not stable. And we start to worship, and I want it to be very celebratory, right? You know, it's our, you know, launching service. We invited a lot of people, and you know, I wanted to make it really lively, and I tried best as my possible. And you know, we were singing how great is our God, right? And then, the corner of my eye, my brother, I see him right there, and he's like, great name above all names, you are worthy of our praise. How great, this was his pose, right? So as I'm leading worship, I'm like, dude, I can't look at this guy. Like, I'm gonna be like, bawling, you know? He's just worshiping God day after. And you know what? If I was him, I don't even know if I would have went to church that day. If I were him, I would have surely looked at my ugly, rotten bag and started to plant ugly things towards God, probably. But he was able to tap in to these good seeds. How great. You may be going through hard times, and I don't understand it. You don't understand it. You're questioning God. But you know what? God's ways are far better than our ways. Amen? Yo, come back to me, okay? Come back. I'm like about to tear and stuff. You know, I'm pouring out my heart, you know? Like, I don't get paid for doing and giving a message, so please, as I'm speaking, at least give me like amen. Give me an amen to make me feel better, okay? Woo, 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 woo. And then this passage, this word came to me last month, and I've been wanting to share this every Sunday. And I was thinking, I'm gonna share it in my worship, I'm gonna share it before worship, and I never got a chance to. I want to share with you today, maybe because this is God's timing, right? 2 Corinthians 2:14, 15. It says, but thanks be to God. By the way, this is not from Rick Warren, okay? But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and use us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Oh my, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Can we go back to the other verse? This has so much power. And sorry, Peter, because as I'm reading through the New Old Testaments, like, you know, the guys are doing, sometimes you get so lost and bored. like confused and bored. Like I have to turn to the New Testament, and then sometimes it's hard to go back to the Old Testament in those sections. And I try to like delay it as much as possible until we hit like Psalms, and then I come back and jump it back in. But so it was one of those days I had to turn to the New Testament, and this passage came. I don't know if you've ever seen one of my favorite movies, Gladiator, right? In the beginning of the movie, yes, Carlos. Beginning of the movie, Maximus conquers and comes through, and there's this big triumphal procession, right? Big parade. Flowers, roses, you see the general in the chariot, they're coming, all the people are following along, his army is coming along, and there's this huge parade, right? Triumphal procession. I love to see that scene. And I kind of think of that scene as I'm reading this passage, right? He leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. You know what? The word captive here, he takes you and me captive. Because how many of us, we're on the sideline of that triumphal procession? We're not part of that parade. How many times do we think that we can't triumph? How many times do we think we can't overcome? How many times do we think, what is God doing? What's God able to do? Where is he? If he's the loving God, why am I going through this? And we will put ourselves on that sideline as spectators, just looking. But God wants you to know, he takes you captive to be part of the triumphal procession. Because you know why? Jesus Christ won the victory 2,000 years ago on the cross. He's the general, and he leads us, and he takes you and me captive to triumph. He takes me and you captive so that we can overcome. For greater is he who makes us overcome. That deserves a real good amen, guys. Takes, you know what? Always. Always. Not just sometimes. Not just when you're feeling good. Not just when it's a little hill that you have to climb. Not just tomorrow. Not just a few days ago. Always. He always takes us captives for the triumphal procession. You are an overcomer. I am an overcomer. We can triumph together no matter what, because there are a bag of seeds in here that we are planting. The spiritual seeds in here, it makes us overcome. It makes us triumph. So people, brothers, sisters, I know some of you don't want to plant. Some of you don't want to give. Some of you think it is empty. Some of you, you're going through the darkest, deepest times. But you know what? I want you to know God says, my ways are better than yours, and this seed bag is not empty, it's full. The seeds need to be planted. Always. Always. Psalm 126, it says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Oh my gosh. What? Those who plant in tears will harvest not just joy, but shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Man, if you are weeping and if you are in tears, there's a time that's coming. Time of shouts of joy. Time to return with that harvest. That's why Galatians 6:9, it tells us, let us not get tired of doing what is right and doing what is good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Brothers, sisters, I know you and I, we want to give up so many times and do nothing. But that's not what the word says. That's not the way it was meant to be lived. We are to be able to live above. Above. Spiritual seeds need to be planted with your faith. Needs to be planted with your faith. You know, these spiritual seeds, I hope you realize it helps us to reap more than we sow, right? Like these seeds, like when Jesus fed the 5,000, right? If you look at the Bible, when he feeds the 5,000, like as you know, the scene is like people are following him and they're crowded and they're complaining that they're hungry. You know what would have been cool? I was thinking if he was able to do the same thing to the Israelites when they were in the desert. Like imagine manna falling from the sky and quail, you know? God doing something so miraculous like that, right? He could have done that, right? He could have said manna fall from the ground and it would have fell and we'd be able to feed everybody. But no, he says, is there anybody here with any type of food? And this little boy comes and he says, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? Probably didn't have much to give, right? But this boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the amazing thing about this story, even though he had the power to release all those things, he chose to use this boy. And this boy, really, there's nothing about him after this story is done with the feeding of the 5,000 with his bread and fish, right? He probably didn't have the slightest idea that his 5 loaves and 2 fish could feed 5,000. Absolutely no idea. But God took it, and he fed 5,000. In fact, 5,000 were just kind of like census of men back then. He actually says in reality, he even fed like 10,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all he took. I bet that boy, his life was transformed. He knew that his God was able to do immeasurably more than what he had or what he could give. Spiritual seeds that we have, it reaps more than we sow. Mark 4:8, it says that some seed fell on good soil. It grew up, grew, produced the crop, multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. I think that's one seed. One seed. You know, I'm very cheap with time. I'm cheap with many things. God's been teaching me to be more gracious all my life. But time, man, I'm very like stingy with time. So when, you know, if you look at my Google Calendar, right? Like I have like all these schedules planned, especially these days because I'm meeting up with all these people and pastors and stuff. When it's like empty, those are very precious. When it's like nothing at night, when I come home, my God, please do not disturb me. And then my wife says, I think you should go out and like, you know, why don't you go out and have dinner with this brother, or why don't you go out and, you know, do something, and why don't you do something for the kids? And like, I get like irked. Oh, you're disturbing my schedule here, right? And the thing is, I will. I always tell her, I will. Yes, I will. And then, you know, she's been doing this James Bible study, and then this week she tells me, like, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Chimina Walter, did you hear that? You know, I'm like, let your yes be yes. Amen. Thank you. I needed to hear that. So I'm like, come on. Oh, fine. So I go out and, you know, I meet with a few people. I do something for my children. And as I was actually having dinner with this brother, he didn't have anything that I needed to give him or anything like that. I didn't go out so that I could spread my seed. I thought it was a perfect time. Oh, I'm thinking about these bag of seeds. I'm going to plant them with my brother. You know, Theo needs my help, and I'm going to go. No. I just met with that brother and had dinner. And I came back, and I was like, that was such time well spent. You know, don't you feel like that when you go to life group? it's my plug-in for the life group, right? It's my plug-in for the life group. If you're not involved with the life group at this church, you're missing out. I'm serious, you're missing out. There's some authentic transparency vulnerability that's going on in our life groups. You know, I speak to all the life group leaders. Incredible testimonies are coming out. Get involved with the life group. Like this Sunday message, it's just a message, right? You know, my hopefully it's God's words that's speaking to you. But you really want transformation, it's going to happen in your life group. That's my plug-in for the life group, okay? But how many times on a Friday night, or Thursday night, or Wednesday night, or Sunday afternoon, they're like, man, I want to go home. Oh, I don't want to go to life group. You know? How many times? Right? I want you to know, right? And I know you've experienced it. After that meeting, you come out, you go, wow, that was so good. That was time well spent. If I was home, I would have probably just watched my Netflix, watched my series or something. But it was time well spent. Brothers and sisters, some seeds, you don't even know it, but it produces a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100-fold. That time that you gave, the time that you didn't even know you had to give, the time that you didn't even think it was needed, God took it, and he's multiplying it, multiplying it. And kind of going back to my left side of the bag, right? It also gives, God gives us a warning, right? This is rotten bag, right? Because just as much as a good seed that falls on good soil could multiply 30, 60, 100-fold, actually does the same thing with the bad seeds. And that's kind of like the scary thing about it, right? Is that you have these bad seeds. What are these bad seeds? I don't know. Gossip, criticism, malice, jealousy, pride, anger, spiteful words, piercing hurt words that you say to your husband. It has exponential potential in that spiteful words. I'm kind of kidding and not kidding. Church, this bag, let's ignore it. Let's drop it. Spread that good seed. The more we plant, right? Like I said, the more God will give me. 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says, "For God who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more. More and more fruit from heaven. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." The more you give, the more you get. It will be. And I kind of struggle with that statement, but according to this verse, I should give away more, right? It says that God provides more, you know? He's a faithful God. And actually, my last point is here. Best time to seed and plant is now. Is now. Don't be on the sideline. The sooner, the better. You know, how many times when we say, when this happens, when this happens, when this happens, when this happens, then. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds, and those who look at every cloud will never reap or harvest. That's a different translation. Sow your seed in the morning and evening, let your hands be idle, for you do not know which seed will see. This is not the verse. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Do we have that? Anyway, it's okay. It says, those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds, and those who look at every cloud will never reap or harvest. Time is now. And I'm going to close with this, because I kind of need to explain, you know, what God's been doing in my life. You know, I think Jay and I, you know, we try to live a life that's out of gratitude, mostly, right? So we serve because we're thankful. You know, we give because we're thankful. You know, we love, right? Because we're thankful, you know? And I think that's the lifestyle that we want to teach our kids as well. And that's the seed that we want to give our kids, is to be thankful in all things, right? And And when people ask, or especially when church or Pastor Sam asks certain things, it's usually a never a no for me, you know? Am I busy? I think so, you know? Am I doing too much? You may not, but I think so. Can you possibly do everything well? I don't know, but I'm not sure, but I'm willing to be a yes man. I'm a yes man. Not because there's this huge need for me, but it's just because I'm just kind of really thankful for what God has done and what God is doing. And am I satisfied with where I am in my life? No. Am I satisfied with my career? No. Am I making enough? I absolutely don't think so. But there is the sense of like, God saved me. He went on the cross for my sins. I am new, reborn, a new creation. I'm a child of God. I'm found precious in His sight. You know, I belong to the kingdom of God. And God's been doing certain things in my life for the past, I don't know, 2 years or so, to be honest. It all started with a lot of it came like even with looking at my kids, but certain things that's happening with our nation, with the young kids and young youth and, you know, all the shootings in schools. And then, you know, God's been just orchestrating certain things for me to see if maybe like I will be willing to do certain things for youth ministry again. Or college ministry again, youth in college. You know, I was involved with a ministry called Jericho Falls Ministries. We did it, started in 1996. We did it for like 12 years. And I don't know if you knew, and nobody probably knows, but, you know, Max doesn't know, which hurts me a little bit. But, you know, during those years, like, I don't know, Patty, if you remember, I was so recognized that, like, I was at the airport at JFK, and, you know, like, these kids would come up to me and, like, you're Tay from Jericho Falls. You know, I went to the mall, and they'd be like, oh, you're Tay from Jericho Falls, and can I have your autograph? And my mom and dad, my sister, thinking, what is this guy doing, you know? Anyway, you know, we actually had the opportunity to go to a lot of different churches. We went to a lot of different campuses. Sometimes they flew us to, like, I remember flying us to Tennessee to do a conference there. We had a staff of 40 people. You know, we did, you name an event, we actually did it. We did even a national pastors gathering for a denomination of like, I don't know, 5,000 people. We led worship there. And you know, I was really young, but and then all these old pastors came and they were like, oh, you have such passion, young boy. we went to like a hospital for terminally ill patients. We worshiped there. We went to a recovery center. We worshiped. I mean, we went to different ethnic groups. We did all this. And, you know, we stopped doing it. I stopped doing it because I wanted something a little bit more real, you know, because we were doing this on event by event. We were doing like twice a month. We were going to all over to the worship, the conference. And I wanted something a little bit more real because we all had this Monday blues, right? Every time we come back on a Sunday, we go to church, come back, we go to work Monday morning, and we all felt very depressed. You know, I felt very depressed. And the better the event was, the severe the depression it was, really. You know, it was just a Monday morning blues. And I kind of really get a glimpse of what these rock stars really go through in that sense. And I can understand why they turn to these wicked things. And, you know, during those times, you know, we were like, let's do church, you know, and then, you know, and that's how we transitioned into having church. And oh, gosh, for the past, like, I don't know, 12 years now, it's been hard, you know, catalyst for, you know, a year sometimes. Wow, it's not easy. It really isn't. You know, I took it as like, we're going to have this rocking church and, you know, all these things. And anyway, but as of it all, God's doing amazing things at our church. I'm so thankful, right? Just incredible things. But it's not so that He does incredible things so that we get this blessing. It's because He's preparing us to give. He's preparing us to testify. He's preparing us for greater things. Right? The seed that you have, He wants to say, man, I want to multiply that hundredfold. And so over the past 2 years, I'm like, no, I'm totally like content with where I am in my life. You know, even though I feel like I don't have, you know, everything that I want, I'm happy where our church is. I'm happy where our direction of our church is. You know, I'm happy about, you know, our family, our kids, and our career, and all this stuff. You know, I love playing basketball twice a week. You know, I love to play golf, and I like to do my thing. And God, like, what are you telling me to do? Like, I'm just doing too much. Are you crazy? And I've been struggling through for this for the past 2 years. And then something happened to me. I looked at, actually, my children. You know, and then I looked at our youth kids. I looked at their life. And I'm so happy about, you know, our youth ministry and everything, you know. I'm happy that they're growing up and stuff. But I want more for them. I absolutely want more for them. I want the best for them. I want them to experience incredible things. More things than what I ever experienced. And I started to pray through. And I was like, God, you know what? If you want to really do something, then I'm going to, you know, because I lack faith, right? I'm going to start approaching people. You know, there was some broken relationship in my life. I had to humble myself to go and kind of mend those relationships again. To say, hey, God has given me this thing, and, you know, I'm going to do this. Am I tired at times? Yeah. Am I busy? Absolutely. Am I thinking I'm doing too much? Do I have things to give? Sometimes my bag, see, the bag is empty. But when God calls, it really doesn't matter what I think, because His ways are better than mine. It really doesn't matter how many seeds I think I have. I feel like I only have 2 seeds, God. He says, that seed, I'm going to multiply that. We have a worship night coming up this Saturday night. This is my plug-in for the ministry. We need help. We need support. We need you to come. I don't even know who's coming, to be honest. Kids don't know who we are, you know. I've been meeting up, seriously, for the past, like, 3 months, I met up with a lot of pastors in this area. I met up with all these ministry leaders, you know, and they've been like thanking me and congratulating me. Like, there's this huge need. There's no youth pastors. There's no college pastors. There's no youth teachers. I mean, my gosh, these small churches are suffering. These young kids' lives, they're suffering. And then this week, I see this documentary. And I'm gonna close with this, I promise. It's a documentary that HBO and CNN did. It's called One Nation Under Stress. One Nation Under Stress. This is some of the facts that they gave. 1960, Americans had among the highest life expectancy in the world. Today, U.S. ranks near the bottom of all major developed nations. U.S. population is 4% of world's population. Americans take 80 to 90% of world's opiates. The reason why the life expectancy in U.S. has decreased so significantly, it hasn't been at this rate since over 100 years ago when Americans were hit with epidemic disease. The reason why they say the life expectancy has gone down is because of people self-inflicting deaths of depression and despair. Then they turn to drug overdose, alcohol with liver disease, and suicide among the age of 16 to 25. I look, and they're saying that it's really due to overwhelming stress that Americans feel. And they're turning into things. And they go through, like, you know, pharmaceutical companies and how your youth, if they get depressed, they get hit with post-traumatic syndrome,
they get medicated. And then as they get medicated, they get worse and worse and worse. And I'm watching, and I'm going, man, my heart really breaks. Because this is, a lot of them are like my daughter's friends, you know? And I was like, man, if I have one seed to give away that God can use, how could I say no? If you have that one seed in your bag, which I just told you that you have more than that, and he wants to multiply it, how can you say no? We can't. No matter what we're going through. Because God's ways are better. His ways are good. His ways is perfect. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. Makes you and me beautiful. He wants to make this church beautiful.